He's seen it from all sides. As a cop. As a clergyman. As a candidate. Even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
And welcome to the Joe Whitehead Show. Calling this episode Culture and Politics. Culture and Politics, I'm your guest host, John DePrisco. Fear not, brave patriots. Joe will be calling in today, so we will hear from him later. We are live and armed. That's right. Armed with truth, intelligence, and logic. And Florida State Statute 790. We do take your calls live, 430-2428. That's 239-430-2428. We are going to have some call-in guests, like I said, Joe Whitehead himself, and also Jacob Wagner, a student in poli-sci. And in studio with me is our very own Doug Rankin. I'm calling today's episode Culture and Politics because, in general, culture influences politics and politics influences culture. Again, we do take your call in, so if you want to talk about this topic or any topics that float your boat, give us a call at 430-2428. And if you're outside of the broadcast area or if you have friends and family that you want them to be able to listen in, they can go to WGUF989.com and listen live. And with that, let's go to our first segment from the front lines with our very own Doug Rankin. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, John. I'm here live and armed and ready to help tackle the world here. You know, if I'd have told you 23 years ago what would have been happening in the next 23 years, which insane asylum would you have locked me up in? Pretty much any of us would have done that. Well, here we are. We had I picked that date because, of course, 9/11.
Okay.
And then you go on and just whatever. You know, I just can't believe the America I lived in. If my grandparents were alive today, that were born in the 1800s, they would be shocked. And those grandparents lived through the first pandemic. They were 25 and 29 when it happened.
Yep.
And they lived until the late 70s. And so they lived through World War I, World War II, Spanish-American War, and a few other things. If you all recall a story about Coffeyville, Kansas in the late 1800s, that's where the Dalton Gang met their end.
Oh.
My great-grandfather was one of the people who caused one of their people to meet his end. They decided they'd rob the bank, and the whole town sort of blew them away. I was supposed to, until I got a bout of intestinal problems last week, be killing Mr. Watson out on Chokoloskee on December 11th, which was our local claim to fame in that regard. You know, and you talk about, you know, let's defund the police and do away with them. Let me tell you about the Watson story. And this is the big deal here in Collier County, except there was no Collier County in 1910.
Right.
And, in fact, your famous guy here who normally sits in this seat, what's his name?
That would be Joe Whitehead.
No. Their evening talk show host.
Oh, I don't know.
I forget. What's his name? Anyway, it's the chief talk show host for this radio station.
Okay.
He was in the play. And basically, in 1910, there was no Collier County.
Right.
And Chokoloskee was not connected to the mainland by the land bridge. It was built in 59.
Right.
And right across the waterway, you were in Monroe County. Yeah. And before the national park, that area was pretty much the most lawless area in Florida. If somebody escaped from prison or wanted to be on the lam from the law, that's where they were. Because
they could hide
out. The Lee County Sheriff, one of them, that's all there was, was here in Fort Myers, and was north of where we are in Fort Myers. There was no sheriff of Collier County. There was no Collier County.
Right.
And the sheriff of Monroe County was in Key West.
Right, yeah.
Which is a parcel of land, especially in 1910, from that part of Monroe County that's right across the waterway there.
Yep.
This guy by the name of Mr. Watson had killed a bunch of people up north, and he decided he'd come to Florida and farm sugarcane out near Chokoloskee. and he had a very interesting way to increase his profits. chances are if you worked for him, you were fertilizer at the end of the season rather than getting a paycheck.
Right.
And the people down there, even though he paid the Smallwoods, you know, this the Smallwood store was built about 10 years earlier than that, is one of the few people that paid them on time and ahead of time. The group had pretty much had enough of him by then. And, in fact, Mrs. Smallwood was related to an old family that's been around here for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then there were several murders after he, before he got back and right after he got back. Mm. And he blamed them all on a hand by the name of Mr. Cox, who was also had a long history. And including a pregnant woman that they'd shot down, who had been the nicest, most giving person around. And so one day, the townsfolk had just had enough. And tell you about defunding the police. Mm-hmm. The Lee County Sheriff had come down and confronted this guy, and Watson got the drop on him and pulled a gun on him. And so he hightailed it back to Fort Myers. Mm. And the Monroe County Sheriff wasn't even going to bother, even though there was a warrant from Monroe County for his arrest for murder. So the townsfolk had to get together and blow him away. And they did. And to this day, I don't think anybody's going to fault them for that, given the situation they were in. Right. That's what happens when you defund the police. Yeah. And that's not a good thing. And, you know, we've just been listening, you know, their show that preceded us here about the effects of defunding the police. Anybody here want to move to San Francisco and have to empty out your car every night and leave the trunk and doors open so nobody will smash the windows?
Yeah, right.
I don't think so. You know, I have so much junk and stuff in my cars, it takes me half a day to clean them out. And that's just ridiculous, you know, that we should live in a major city in America like that. Yeah. And we won't even talk about Chicago. You know, I call it Mogadishu.
Yeah.
Because there are large portions of Chicago where the crime rate is worse than Mogadishu, Somalia. You know, Black Hawk Down. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, and of course, that's benefiting us right now because we are no longer just a retirement area. We're a COVID refugee area.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, you know, I've nothing more stupid than these lockdowns. And our governor recognized that early on. In fact, the only reason we participated in the first one is, you'll recall Mr. Fauci, that everybody still sort of believes, he said millions were going to die.
Yeah.
So everybody locked down the first time.
Yeah.
And now we come to realize, as we sit here, about 800,000 people are dead from COVID, and we're very sorry for them. But there's about 1 million dead from the effects of the lockdown.
Right, yeah.
Suicides, drugs, alcohol, broken relationships, and delayed heart and cancer treatments.
Yep.
And I know firsthand that they were not just delaying elective surgery. They were delaying life-saving surgery.
Yeah.
And we just hit a record of overdose deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, part of that is the pandemic, and part of that is our dear senile person in the White House who's thrown open the border and allowed all those drugs to flow in from Venezuela. That's not just trying to give us drugs to make money. They're trying to give us drugs to kill us, and they're succeeding quite well at it. Thank you, Joe, for helping our enemies. And as we sit here, I am a very worried guy. I have, over the years, had the pleasure of either working with or being associated with people who make serious decisions to keep this country in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of my life, this country was equipped to fight a two-front war.
Right, yeah.
As of the Obama administration, that is gone.
Right.
And we no longer have that ability at all. And in fact, let's segue for a moment to vaccine mandates. If you were running the military and you had a possibility, no matter how small, a possibility that these vaccines in the long run would harm people and debilitate them, would you want a section of your military that wasn't vaccinated?
Well, yeah, I mean,
because that way you'd have a force that if that did come to pass, you would be able to defend this country.
Right.
And some idiot up there has made the decision, even though these vaccines are proving less and less effective, and I'm fully vaccinated because I work with older people. I felt I owed it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the one that was the least threat and two-shot threat. And the one I thought I could resist any ill effects of the most. Nobody knows what we're looking at here. And so that was not a very bright idea. But back to my concerns. We can no longer fight a two-front war. There's no question about that. And we have just lost the respect of the entire world and all our allies from what this idiot did in Afghanistan. And I'll tell you, if my grandparents or my mother were alive or my father were alive, they would not believe me if I told them that America did what we did in Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's tragic.
It's not at all. Now we've got Russia going to invade Ukraine. It's just a question of when.
Right.
And then when they do that, I'll bet you a dollar China at the same time goes for Taiwan.
Yeah.
And we have no ability to stop them. But we'll pick up that in a moment. We've got a caller.
Yeah. And I think, is it Robert on line four? Or Jacob. I'm sorry. Is Jacob on with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Jacob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So let me just introduce you real quick. Jacob is a native of Naples, Florida. He's currently a freshman at Lee University. He's in Cleveland, Tennessee. He's taken political science. He's 19 with a Cuban and Republican background, and he's passionate about issues facing the nation and getting young people involved. So Jacob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So what's on your mind?
Well, what's on Joe Biden's agenda? I think we can start there. I think everything that this illegitimate president is pushing forth is something that every American should be paying close attention to, because it's an agenda that they're pushing to divide this nation and to put this nation closer to socialism with the spending plan, with rising inflation, all to make it more dependent on the federal government.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how do you breach or broach that subject with, you know, the young people of the world, your fellow freshmen, and, you know, they're getting one-sided view from, you know, public education system and social media. I mean, it must be kind of difficult.
Yeah, it's actually quite complicated because, you know, I grew up in the public education system.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with, you know, Collier County Public Schools, you know, in Kamala Patton and all the nonsense CRT that she's pushing.
Yep.
And so I was lucky enough to have good parents that, you know, taught me to believe, you know, what they were pushing was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what I try to use is, especially with a lot of young people, you know, I tell them, be like, I have family in Cuba that have been persecuted, that have been killed simply for speaking out. And they can't afford food, they can't afford basic utilities, water, electricity, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a simple scare tactic. I tell them, is that really the life you want to live? Do you really want to wonder and wake up every morning if you're going to be able to, you know, to make it to the next meal?
Mm.
You know, or if you make it to the next meal, you know, are you going to have to start worrying about the next one? Or if you're going to wake up alive? Or, you know, if you still want the right to speak out against your government, whether it be Joe Biden or Donald Trump or whoever's in office.
Right.
I try to use a scare tactic because that tends to work the best, unfortunately. But there's still so many students and so many young people that just they go off this idea that we have to be so kind and so loving to everybody. And, you know, I agree. We need to be kind and be loving to everybody. But the same token, you know, we have to stop being offended, because that's the problem. And so many young people get offended so easily. And that's how the administration is getting away with everything.
Mm-hmm.
They simply say, oh, you're racist or you're sexist. And it's a tactic that's working very well for the Democrats and for the left.
Mm-hmm. But we do see a little bit of a pushback now. I mean, we had, I guess the biggest one was the governor race in Virginia. And some people are talking about, in 2022, a red wave or even a red tsunami. But again, you're fighting social media and this cancel culture, and, you know, it really seems to me, and you know, I'm from a different perspective, but I have kids about your age, and you know, it really seems to me that the social media is just brainwashing them.
I agree.
How are things up there in Tennessee and at your university? Is it all liberal, or is it conservative, or in the middle?
Well, in Tennessee is a relatively conservative state. It's actually, you know, it's a lot like Florida in many aspects. And the university is a Church of God institution, so it does lean more conservative, which is quite nice. However, you do have those people that are, you know, those woke leftists and, you know, that push for all this nonsense that typical, you know, that the left uses, this social justice and all, and this, you know, minorities are somehow oppressed and are subjected people, which is just simply false. It's absolutely false. And the unfortunate thing about Tennessee outside of the university life is that a lot of Tennesseans are complacent. We have in Tennessee, I'll tell you what, Bill Lee is not the greatest governor. He's not a Ron DeSantis. He's not a Glenn Lincoln. Though he's a very good businessman, and I believe he runs a good state, he's not what we need in this day and age. We need Republicans that will fight hard, that are strong, that are not afraid to get in the middle and start fighting. And Bill Lee has made a lot of promises and has not kept any of them. He's your very typical politician. And a lot of Tennesseans, unfortunately, are okay with that. And, you know, that's like a second job for me, is having to go out and, you know, speak at local Republican meetings and you know, advocate on social media, even though I've been banned, you know, countless number of times. That's a different story. and try to, you know, tell people, hey, we need someone who's going to fight like hell, who's not going to stop. We need someone like a Ron DeSantis. That's really who we need. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, they love Trump, but they didn't like his mouth. And a lot of people love DeSantis because he's as strong as Trump, but he doesn't have that mouth. And he doesn't give the media and big tech the ammunition to fire back. Yeah. And it's a whole new thing now. It's about being complacent. And we can't be complacent in today's age, because if we're complacent, it's going to kill us. And because, you know, we've been complacent for too long. That's how we ended up with Joe Biden. That's how we had Barack Obama for 8 years. And so complacency kills. And that's, you know, that's something that in those southern red states that we're going to have to try fighting hard. Even in Georgia, look how close Stacey Abrams was to winning Georgia.
Yeah.
A lot of people in Georgia were complacent for quite some time. Now, I believe they're starting to wake up a little more, kind of like the Floridians. And, you know, starting to be like, hey, we don't want that for our state. But that's something that we really have to fight hard. You know, that's the next chapter. And, I do sense a red wave simply because what happened in Virginia, how close it got in New Jersey. And, my God, New Jersey's a blue state. And it got extremely close to New Jersey.
Yep.
And so I think hopes are looking good, in my opinion. However, the you know, it's only just beginning. The fight has only just started.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. How is that Let's Go Brandon and the more unacceptable version of that going up there?
Well, it's gone pretty good. I'll tell you what, we had some sort of event not too long ago at the university, and there was about three different times Let's Go Brandon was chanted. So I think it was going pretty good. Twice in the arena and once in the streets of the university. It was fantastic.
Great. Well, Tennessee is the pretty much the farthest north state that's benefiting from this refugee influx. I do real estate and estate planning and some other things, but Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Arizona, and to a lesser extent, forgive me, the redneck Riviera states in the middle, are the refugee areas for everything from California to Wisconsin to Illinois to Michigan to Connecticut and New Jersey. And by the way, don't feel defeated like the left would like you, because I just had somebody from New Jersey sitting in my office yesterday, and this person is very well acquainted with New Jersey, and there are only about 3.5 of their counties that are seriously liberal. The rest of the state isn't. It's, you know, if you look at a map of red and blue on a county basis, they ain't much blue. And it doesn't take much for us to take a state like New Jersey, especially when you've got a bunch of fools in the office that I wouldn't trust to run a Subway sandwich shop, let alone, and my apologies to Subway, let alone a country. And, you know, it's pretty soon everybody's aware the emperor has no clothes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jacob, you're taking poli sci.
I am.
Any future goals?
Well, I'll tell you what, I have a lot of goals and a lot of ambitions. The thing is, I gotta focus on the school right now. I know it's not necessarily, you know, looking into it, you don't really need a degree for a lot of positions. However, I think it looks good, and it'll better equip me personally. And going to a Christian university, I think, will give me a better, you know, a more supreme education, if you will, I suppose, if I went to a state school.
Mm-hmm. Good. And by the way, is that college group active there, the conservative college group?
We are. We are actually the College Republicans. There is no College Democrats on campus. So I think we're doing a pretty damn good job.
No, what I mean is the one that the gentleman, when he was in college, started, and it's now nationwide. It's the names escape me at the moment.
YAF or Turning Point?
No, it's got Turning Point. The one. Is that active there?
There's not a Turning Point at Lee University, but there is a College Republicans. The Turning Point, there's a lot of, you have to jump through a lot of hoops and do a lot of paperwork for that. So we're just like, you know what? We're some College Republicans. It's a lot simple. It's the same message. We got it. So.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I really am. You know, I have a house that's in Georgia, 500 feet from North Carolina and 5 miles in Tennessee, 5 miles from Tennessee. And I've been in and out of Tennessee for 50 years. And I was hopeful it was going to stay red and stay conservative and do well. And it sounds like you are reinforcing my view, although it sounds like it could do better.
I think it certainly can. I think that's something that, you know, it's not just the young people that we're going to have to, you know, wake up. A lot of it's students wake up, a lot of the older people, because, you know, it's that mentality of complacency. You know, we'll be all right. Oh, it's just this one law. It's just this one, you know. You give them a few feet, they take a mile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that's something that, you know, it boils down to complacency. You just can't be complacent. And Tennessee, I believe, has so much potential. Yeah. Tennessee has amazing potential to be a global competitor in economy, in worldviews, and I think it's something that it could be like Florida.
Yeah,
you know, we need to light a spark and get things moving a little bit.
Well, yeah, and that area of North Georgia, Western North Carolina, and a lot of Tennessee suffered horribly under Clinton and his NAFTA thing that was improperly done. Y'all lost a lot of industry up there, everything from sulfuric acid plants to furniture to Levi Strauss, everything. And, you know, hopefully, and Trump was bringing it back until this idiot got in office. And we got to do that, because you can't live on tourism and casinos and things like that, which is what that area is pretty much living on at the moment. And we got to get back to actually doing things and making things and succeeding at things. And that's what's going to keep America great and solve some supply chain problems.
That's exactly the truth. If things were made in America, our products would not be stuck on cargo ships. Yeah. We'd be shipping it to our land on trains, trucks, you know, you name it. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have this problem that China manufactured. We wouldn't have the insane prices. It would be, I mean, we'd still have inflation, of course, but, you know, probably wouldn't be as bad. And the thing is, we are so dependent on China. They are screwing us so hard. They're doing a great job at it.
Yeah, don't be defeated about inflation, because you, fortunately for you, you didn't live through the last oil shock. I did. And this inflation is nothing more than the increased price of energy working its way through the economy. Because everything you touch, feel, eat and consume has an energy component. And the difference between Jimmy and this guy is Jimmy had it done to him by the Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
This guy did it to ourselves. Yep. Those executive orders destroyed our oil industry and it put us in a heck of a mess.
So, Jacob, do students realize, do they feel the hit of inflation? You know, gas prices doubling and...
Well, see, that's the best part. The second those gas prices started going up when Joe Biden got in the office, I was sitting here and saying, you see, I told you. It was a whole, I'm still doing it. I told you so.
Yeah.
And I can tell you how many people are like, man, I miss Trump. And every time I say that, I think, just remember, when the next election comes around, vote Republican, because this crap don't happen. And, that's just something that I've been pushing really hard with those gas prices. You know, in college, everyone's, you know, minimal work. You're kind of going day by day because you're so focused at school, and then, you know, so there's a lot going on. And paying, you know, I drive a little Volkswagen Jetta, you know, under the former president, it's about $25 to fill up. Right. Now I'm paying almost, and I put just regular, you know, regular gas in my car. I don't put premium or anything crazy. And, you know, it's almost doubled.
Yeah.
And so I tell people, look, just remember when the next election comes around. Remember how bad your wallet was hurting.
Yeah.
Remember how bad you were complaining because you go to the pump and it's 330 something, almost $4
yep.
for a tank.
Yeah. And the other thing for you all to be concerned about at your age is the conflict I was starting to talk about before you came on the air about Ukraine. And right now, because of Joe Biden's policies, we have essentially put NATO and Europe at the beck and call of the Russians. They provide half their natural gas. Mm-hmm. We were so abundantly producing it, we were going to start shipping it to Europe and supplant Russia and give the EU and Britain a choice. But now, if they go to the defense of Ukraine, or even if they start doing, you know, and this would be a repeat of peace in our time from the beginning of World War II, start taking Poland or the Baltic countries, Russia can threaten to have people in their apartments in Paris freeze. And, you know, that is repeating a piece of history I don't think any of us want to see repeated, except instead of Hitler, this time it would be Putin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a crazy dictator as opposed to a cold, calculating one is easier to defeat. Putin is a cold, calculating dictator. Yeah, yep. He was a former KGB. And you got to be careful there.
Well, Jacob,
yeah.
I want to thank you for calling in. And we do wish you the very best and much success. And hopefully you'll be on many times in the future.
Thank you, sir. We'd love that. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thanks. Next, I believe Joe's on line 5.
Yeah.
Joe, can you hear me?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
How are things with you?
Good,
great.
How are you?
We're even better now that you're here.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, listen, I'm listening to you guys. Doing a great job. I want to say something about the conversation you had with Jacob. I like it when I hear young people who are versed and understand
absolutely
civics, understand the Constitution, the purpose of this country. And with that said, I want to open the segment up with a congratulations to the staff, the parents, the teachers, and students at Mason Classical Academy. I recently posted a score they achieved on Facebook in the last 72 hours, mm-hmm. and it was for civics testing statewide in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They test all the seniors on civics. Out of 100% accuracy score, the statewide score, statewide in Florida, was only 36%.
Ouch.
I'm sorry, 39%. The Collier County Public School score was 36%.
Ouch.
Ouch. And get this, Mason Classical Academy score was 91%.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, you know, now, you know what Pamela's...
How do you explain that?
Yeah.
Well, I know what Pamela Patton's reaction is going to be, not improve Collier County schools. It's try and take a piece out of Mason.
Yeah.
And
well, that's exactly right. And I want to tell you, Doug, I served there for 6 straight years as vice principal. And we'd always been very high performing at the time.
Yeah.
The schools have done excellent. We have the staff there, the principal, David Hull, a super guy. Now he's the director, current principal, John DeMasi. And he was raised as a teacher there and taught the methodologies. And so this school is in great shape going forward. It's going to get even better. But not one time in my time there, not one time, did any member of the district or the school board approach our school and say, hey, what are you guys doing to consistently score at the top?
Right.
Not one person has ever asked that question from the district. I think that's the scandal in all of this. And I think that if you want to hear more young people like a Jacob Wagner in society, if you want to hear more kids like that,
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of education you need to start them with.
Absolutely.
The kind of education that's happening in the rest of these public schools is a complete disaster.
Yeah.
And with that said, I know a little later in the show, you've got our producer Summer has a very nice ad for Mason Classical Academy. It's a tuition-free public school. And if you guys plug that in a couple of times, it'll give listeners a chance, if they have kids and they're listening to this show, to get them on board with a great education that will produce merit going forward.
Yeah,
it's just so important today.
It is absolutely. My oldest son, who's a graduate with academic letters of the Collier County school system, although he spent a lot of time in private school too. You know, I am shocked sometimes, you know, and I didn't just sit back. I tried to educate my boys and all that. But basic concepts and matters about history and things of that nature, I just shocks me occasionally when he and I talks and they're talking. There's a piece of knowledge missing from him that I would have considered indispensable to my upbringing. And I couldn't do everything. And he just looks at me and says, well, that's what happens when you go to public school. They don't teach you any of this stuff.
Well, that's the problem. And it was the teachers themselves do a great job. I mean, the teachers who are in public schools work hard. But they're given poor curriculum. They're given too many other mandates of data collecting and stuff. So they don't get to be teachers. They're data processors almost anymore.
Hey,
and
Joe,
these schools don't manage the behavior, so the teachers could teach if they had a chance.
I want to hear that commercial. Can we take a quick break and hear it?
Yeah, let me finish a couple more things,
okay.
And I'll let you guys go ahead and run with this. Two more things. Every Christmas I go through this, and it's to help the men in our listening audience stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always let guys know, listen, gentlemen, if you're going to give Christmas presents to other dudes, you do not wrap them.
No.
You do not wrap them. You leave them in the bag they came from the store in, or you put it in a brown paper bag, and you don't attach a card. You hand it. Now, the official gift list of places to go, hardware stores, gun shops, of course, meat shops are great places for gifts. Anything that has to do with the outdoors, bags of charcoal, that makes a great gift. Anything to do with grilling, the outdoors, hunting, fishing,
alcohol.
Those are all appropriate. yes,
bourbon.
Good liquor store stuff. It's great. But those are the appropriate gifts. But, gentlemen, you don't wrap gifts. In fact, that is grounds for man card revocation of unrepeated offenses. So it's very important you guys stay away from that. And one final note, and this is a courtesy. I know during the holidays we're supposed to reach out to the people that maybe don't like us too much and try to do something nice, and I want to do that right now. This is a message I want to send to Antifa and all the rioting groups around the country and all the people who create havoc and violence around the country. I just want to say something to them. I want to say, listen, folks, special announcement. There's only 8 shop looting days left until Christmas, so you better get busy.
Yeah, well, I have a particular individual that's been giving one of my clients trouble for like 11 years. And he finally broke down the other day and told me to go to H Double Hockey Sticks, and I told him first. And I just loved that.
Well, listen, gentlemen, have a great. Thanks so much for filling in, and we're gonna have this show. We'll run again Christmas Day.
Okay.
So I'm gonna tell everyone our listening audience, I wish all of you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Prosperous 2022, and enjoy your holidays and enjoy your family.
All right. Merry Christmas,
yes,
Joe.
Merry Christmas, Joe.
Bye.
All right. Let's take a quick break.
98.9 WGUF.
Mason Classical Academy is excited to open enrollment for the 2022 school year. If you are looking for a tuition-free K-12 school for your child, then MCA is the answer. Mason Classical Academy's proven track record is in high demand, and seats are filling up quickly. An MCA education promotes patriotism and a true understanding of American history. Our rich classical curriculum and traditional teaching methods focus on developing the hearts and minds of children rather than teaching to the test by showing students how to think instead of what to think. Mason Classical Academy ranks in the top 1% of all Florida public schools and recently earned its 7th consecutive A rating. Do you crave such an education for your child? If so, enroll now. Seats are limited, so be sure to sign up before the wait list begins to grow. Learn the true, do the good, love the beautiful. Give your child the amazing lifelong benefits of a tuition-free classical education by visiting masonacademy.com today.
Okay. Well, we're back. It was great to hear that commercial.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard it.
And I tell you, I can't say enough about Mason. You know, I sent my boys when they were younger to a private Christian school in Naples, and they did a pretty good job, but, you know, not those kind of scores. And, you know, and I don't care how conservative you are and how well-educated you are and how well-versed you are in the world, you cannot possibly, if your kids go to public school, teach them enough about the real history and the real way the world works because I'll assure you they're not being taught it in school. When my older son went into public school in eighth grade, it was right at 9/11. And one of their teachers goes to me, well, we had to delay Parents' Day for 9/11 because I never missed a Parents' Day ever. But I'm not sure how I can equate the first half of American history to 9/11. And I just looked at this guy who was supposed to be a professional educator, and I said, what the heck part of from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli do you not understand? The Barbary pirates, the Middle East terrorists of the day that back then the Europeans had been placating for 500 years, and good old upstart America got tired of them robbing our ships when we almost bankrupted ourselves to pay them a tribute. And they kept doing it anyway, and so good old upstart America didn't cower. Good old upstart America went over there and kicked their fannies into the next century. And it was about a century before we heard from them again in Munich and things like that. And that's the way a lot of this world works. Middle East terrorists, former KGB heads of oil and gas companies masquerading as countries with nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
That's what they understand, and that's what China understands, is force and power. And I worry very much for our future, because these idiots could not only ruin our country from within, they could cause us to be subjugated by other powers very easily if they're not careful. And you know, it doesn't take many more Afghanistans or many more stupidity of that nature to put a country in that position. You know, if I were to talk to Rome in 200 AD, they didn't think in 476 they were going to cease to exist.
Right.
Well, you better be careful, because this world is a dangerous place, and it is, and the graveyard of history is littered with countries and empires that would never fall.
Yeah. Let me remind people they can call in live. We'll take your calls. 239-430-2428. That's 239-430-2428. And we will take your calls live. And Doug, let's get back to your front lines. I mean, you got a lot.
Yeah, and on good news here, as you may or may not know, our great governor, DeSantis, has put an $8 million item in the Florida budget. And I think everybody's going to get behind this. The $8 million item is for him to cooperate with my friend Lenny Curry, who's the governor of mayor of Jacksonville, where they are dumping all these illegals, and just sort of escort them into buses and ship them to Delaware and D.C. And he's been saying this for a while. Now there's a budget proposal about it. And I predict it will sail through the legislature with a jet engine behind it. And we need to get, if you like these people so much, you let all these illegal people in. And I don't mean the racial thing of it. I mean, it ain't our country. It ain't their country.
Right.
And if we, what they're trying to do is bring us down to the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. And I will take you to some places in Central and South America where they have just messed things up horribly. Mm-hmm. And they had the resources and the abilities to do better, but they've chosen the communist route or the dictatorial route or the whatever route. And that's their problem. They need to stay home and kick the people that are doing those stupid things out of office. But instead, by the way, the tide is different. Several countries in Central and South America that were our allies in 9/11 are now communist. Mm-hmm. Bolivia, a number of them.
Yeah.
And they're not, well, they're dang close to communist. And their countries are suffering accordingly. You know, Venezuela, which I just spoke of earlier, that was the fourth richest country in the Western Hemisphere between the United States, Canada, and probably Costa Rica. And the only reason Costa Rica is sort of holding up is because we are their military.
Yeah, right.
But still, if you go to Costa Rica, there are places that even the worst poverty-stricken areas of Appalachia couldn't compete with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is not, that's not America. And they have we'll be happy to help them get better, but they don't need to come here and flood our markets.
Yeah.
And flood our job markets. And by the way, for those of you who think the Democrats are still out for the little guy, what's happening to the little guy's paycheck under these people versus what happened under Trump.
Yeah.
Everybody's paycheck was going up. We were energy independent and we were great. And we didn't have a bunch of vaccine mandates, you know. And you listen to these lunatics that are trying to mandate everybody vaccine. They're the same people that said while Trump was in office that if he had anything to do with it, they wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, right.
And here we are. But I'll tell you, Trump would never be forcing people to get vaccinated, especially since the new science is it doesn't stop transmission. Hardly at all now, I guess. It does maybe prevent you personally from spending a lot of serious illness and death, maybe. But that's you. That's not society. It's right. Not like we're not talking Typhoid Mary here, where unless you isolate Typhoid Mary, a whole bunch of people are going to get typhoid
right.
And die. You could vaccinate the heck out of Typhoid Mary if she were in today, and it wouldn't make any difference. She'd still be transmitting this stuff. Yeah. And thank you, Fauci and the Chinese, for producing it.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if anybody's seen the recent news on Dr. Mengele, otherwise known as Fauci. And he deserves that title because if what is true, he has done more horrific things than that guy did in World War II. You have the dogs, you have the monkeys. Mm-hmm. And now, back in AIDS time, when he was involved in this, he got a hold of a bunch of orphans in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And these orphans, he wasn't sure whether or not all these drugs they were coming out with for AIDS and similar things would themselves kill the people as opposed to saving them. So he got a hold of a bunch of orphans who didn't need this stuff. And I think there were some cancer drugs involved in this, too, that didn't have cancer. And he pumped them full of it.
Yep.
And a number of them died.
Yeah.
And, you know, he needs to be under a prison somewhere. we put a doctor in jail for Michael Jackson for a dang good reason. You don't give propofol night after night.
Yeah.
To people unless their heart and lungs are monitored, because that stuff can stop your heart and lungs. And so it wasn't a question of if Michael Jackson was going to die. It was a question of when.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that to that guy for one guy for that stupid medical decision. What should we do for this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you're killing a million people to save 800,000. That makes no sense at all. His mandates don't make any sense at all. He swings like a wind vane, and people are still listening to him. And I think Trump spoke of this recently. He said, you know, I listened to him, but I paid attention to about a fraction of what he said because it was apparent to him that these people, that he was not producing a consistent message. And even with the changing science, he wasn't projecting a consistent message. And one thing I'll tell you about Trump, he might not be a doctor. He might not be an infectious disease specialist. He might not be a building engineer. But you give him a project, he will bring together all the smart people, and then he will weed out the wheat from the chaff
mm-hmm.
on who to listen to about what.
Yep.
And then he will come up with a darn good solution to the problem. And I'm sorry, Mengele, Fauci, you are the chaff. You are not the wheat. I have been helping older people with medical decisions since 1976 with some of the best doctors on this planet, and he ain't one of them. And because my clients here in Naples and elsewhere have money to afford doctors that people do fly around the world to see. And I will tell you right now, at this point, I doubt if any of them would fly around the block to see Fauci. And how in the heck this guy has maintained his position, I have no idea. Now, we need to follow science. We need to deal with this stuff. But we need to not just blindly follow somebody who's been wrong more than he's been right.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say science because, you know, back in August when Florida, everybody's inside for the air conditioning, you know, our flu season is in August and our COVID season was in August. And everybody was saying, you know, death Santas and, you know, we had a high case rate.
No, we didn't.
Now, look at what now we're lowest. And the highest are like Michigan and New Jersey, the ones with the strictest yeah. vaccination mandates and
lockdown mandates. And lockdowns. Yeah, we have the lowest per capita or one of the lowest per capita rates in the country.
Yep.
And this state isn't as unpopulated as it used to be. We're the third most populous state in the union, California, Texas, and Florida in that order.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the other thing is, you know, DeSantis, I'll give him 110% credit for this, too, and his predecessors. We're sitting here. We're the third most populous state in the union. We have 3 million more people than New York State. And the state of Florida budget is lower than New York City. And the state of New York budget is 220 some odd billion dollars. Florida is $100 billion. And I don't see anything really, and I don't see the kind of dilapidation and crime and all that in Florida that I see in New York. Yep. So something wrong. They're blowing a lot of money, and they're not getting anything for it. And that's why I love DeSantis. And now we found out that their governor was a pervert and a corruption, and his brother's a pervert. And now, by the way, we've got two more perverts at CNN.
Yep.
One of them came out, was a producer. He had all sorts of problems with little kids. And now one of their other producers, if you haven't seen... Project Veritas. There's one of their other producers who was fantasizing with this girl, lady, and she's got issues, but this was all recorded, so it doesn't really matter who recorded it.
Right.
Where he was fantasizing about molesting his 13-year-old or 14-year-old stepdaughter.
Yep.
And I haven't seen him gone yet. But it's a matter of time. You know, this is what you see with these liberals. You know, they'll say one thing, and then you dig into them, you'll find out they're a bunch of perverts.
Yeah. And well, they brought Tubin back, and Don Lemon still has his show. I mean,
yeah.
These are credible allegations. I mean, obviously, some of them are on video.
Yeah, or audio. And in this particular case, there's video and audio.
Yeah.
You know, and here we sit. And,
but
you know,
if you look at their rates, I mean, they're in the gutter. CNN just does not have near the rates that they used.
Thank you for reminding me that. there was a story out just a couple of days ago, and Trump's loving the hell out of it. The media, overall media viewership or readership is down 48% since he left office. Since they've not got him to kick around anymore, although they're trying, they are in a situation where they're going bankrupt because he's not there anymore. And that's sort of a double yes, you know, and I just love it. Yeah, by the way, I will be at the Trump Golf Course this coming Monday.
Nice.
And all that for their Christmas party there in Palm Beach. And by the way, with my longtime dear friend, Michael Barnett, who's an African-American attorney and the chairman of Palm Beach County.
Nice.
And he used to be the chairman of the entire state of Florida Republican Party. The only reason he isn't still is he only had so many hours in the day, so he asked to step down from that position. So tell me all about the racist party.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
For those of us who have lived in Florida since the 1950s, and whose families have been here since the 20s, I will be more than happy to detail you who the racists are.
Yeah.
And they're Democrats.
Yep.
And it wasn't in the long past either. The last cross that I'm aware of burned on the last front yard of an African-American family in Florida was in Hastings, Florida in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me all about that, guys, that you've changed. Nonsense. You're the party of George Wallace and LBJ and all this other stuff. And by the way, speaking of that, JFK.
Yeah.
Trump, and there was a law that was passed back when JFK was killed and the Warren Commission happened, that in 50 years we'd know all about it.
Right.
Well, those 50 years came when Trump was in office and all the intelligence people went apoplectic and said, no, don't do it, don't do it. And he said, I'm going to do it, but I'll give you a couple of years to get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a set time, we're going to release all this stuff. And now Biden's president, when that thing came to pass a few weeks ago, guess what he did?
He sequestered it.
Yeah. There are parts of that you will probably never know about.
Yep.
And you don't want to know the reasons why. And it's, some of it's to protect people that are still alive. Yeah, a little bit. But quite frankly, a lot of it's to keep a lot of Democrats from being embarrassed or implicated in a crime or a cover-up of a crime. Yeah, that no matter how long it is going to stain their party forever.
Yep.
And because these were all Democrats, LBJ, which I will assure you had something to do with this, and also the fact that the CIA at the time was trying to kill Castro, and they kind of failed to tell the Warren Commission about that. that might have given somebody in Cuba a motive for trying to do this, although that's a red herring. Anyway, but still, it's, you know, it's just like what happened at 9/11. CIA wasn't talking to the FBI, that wasn't talking to the Defense Intelligence Bureau, blah-de-blah-de-blah, and here we are.
Yeah.
And that's what was going on back then on steroids. And back then, too, the Secret Service would cover up for what their protectees did, just like they do now with Hunter Biden and his laptop and his gun and all this other nonsense. And I wished we all lived in that little area over near Orlando called Fantasyland and that everybody sing Kumbaya every evening and all that, but that ain't the world you live in, guys. And even in a nice, civilized, mostly quiet until the Democrats started burning down all our cities, country you live in, the rest of the world ain't. And in international relationships, it's a bad neighborhood at midnight. And there are things going on in this world that would cause most people not to sleep well at night.
Yeah.
And you can either bury your head in the sand of them, or if you're the person that's in charge of keeping this country safe from them, you can deal with them. And we see how effectively senile guy is able to deal with them. He's not. Yeah. And anybody, you know, really tell me he's not senile. Somebody out there, please call me up and tell me, as an estate planning expert who makes these kind of decisions about people signing documents every day of the week, that this guy's not senile.
Yeah, it's a shame.
He is senile. And it's the question is, how long can he last?
And who are the puppet masters?
Yeah, well, the puppet master is Obama.
Yeah.
And a chief of one of the cabinet members who's the most vocal of them. That's the reason they're trying to isolate her. And they're also trying to isolate her because his approval ratings are in the 30s. Hers are in the 20s.
Yeah.
And they can see the end of this coming quickly. And even if they manage, you know, at the end of come 22, and we got to watch it because these people are, you know, what does anybody ever tell a hunter or a soldier about a wounded animal? They're dangerous. And right now the Democrats are almost mortally wounded. They know it. They know the end is coming in 22.
Yep.
So you're going to see them doing things that you never thought possible in American politics to try and save their keisters.
Yeah. Well, they can't even get Build Back Better through. So, I mean, you know.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
And by the way, I from all my clients, I send out every year a Christmas card and a newsletter. And for the last umpteen years, except when Trump was in office, I knew what was going on. I've had to hold up that newsletter, and I finally just finalized it yesterday.
Okay.
Good news is, with Build Back Better gone, the only real tax changes you're going to see for 21 are inflationary changes in the rates.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you are looking at retroactive laws on capital gains, estate taxes, you name it. Remember, retroactive criminal laws are unconstitutional.
Right.
Retroactive tax laws are not.
Yeah.
And basically, they were right up to the end of this year, they were going to go back and take your capital gains from 15 to 20 to 28. Mm. They were talking for a while about carryover basis, which the Dems tried back in 76 and then had to retroactively repeal.
Right.
And that means, you know, when my mom dies, I pick up her stock and I got to figure out what she paid for it way back when.
Yeah.
As opposed to day to death value.
And then pay on it.
Yeah, they were going to knock the estate tax exemption from what Trump had it at to down to where it was going to affect a lot of people. Yeah. And just all sorts of horrendous laws. And I read something the other day about how many tens of thousands of jobs one of these tax laws was going to cost. And so thank God for right now, that's all in the garbage can, hopefully. And my prediction is if it stays in the garbage can till April, we'll get through next year because they will be too chicken to do anything after April.
Well, Doug, it is coming up on Christmas, so I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and wish Joe a Merry Christmas, wish everybody listening a Merry Christmas.
So do I. But we still want to keep the grill hot and the beer cold. But have a Merry Christmas with it, and Merry Christmas to you, Joe, and everybody else out there, and to my family, and I'm sure you want to wish it to your family,
Absolutely.
Too.
All right, thanks, all.
Thank you. And it's Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays.